against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Beautiful story. You know, despite the intense intimidation and threat, the men stayed courageous in their confession of faith. God will deliver us from you, O king. He will deliver us from the fire. And even if he does not, we will not bow down to that statue. And everything was done to make sure these men are completely roasted, burned to ashes. And this was the king's way of quelling any rebellion against him. He literally created his own version of hell. If you disobey me, I'm the king of Babylon, you go burn in hell. 7 times heated, and the men would not denounce their faith. I wonder why he kept an eye on the furnace. I mean, would you throw people in a fire and stay there staring at the furnace? Forget about them, right? You throw them and take a walk. But he must have been suspicious that these guys would actually be delivered. So let me keep an eye on the furnace. Let me see if their God will really deliver them. The guards were even burned. Can you imagine? The men who tied them around and threw them in the furnace were burned because of the intensity of the heat. Reminds us of Paul and Silas in Philippian jail in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. They got them in prison and all they would do is worship the Lord. Completely unstoppable. Nebuchadnezzar notices that there are not only 3, but 4, and there's one who looks like the Son of God. Was one who looked like he's not just a human, he's God. And we know for sure that Jesus was with the men in the fire. And this revelation is not really for the 3 Hebrew boys, the 3 Hebrew men, was it? It was for Nebuchadnezzar and all the other people who tormented these 3 men. I don't know for sure if these men recognized that there were 4 in the fire. They probably did not. But they knew for sure that God had preserved them from the fiery furnace. And they must have been walking in the fire thinking, what? Is it hot over there? No. Is it hot over there? No. And think about the process of just getting them into the fire. I'm sure they cried. I'm sure they're thinking, guys, this may be our last breath. No doubt it was difficult. Don't think that their faith and their courage made it easy for them to go through the fire. It was still difficult. But they knew for sure that was what was required of them. They would not denounce their God. The fire only freed them from their ropes. Can you imagine? Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that these men actually serve the one Most High God. The one Most High God. And this is a confession of a persecutor. This is the confession of one who wants to be worshipped. He knew for sure that he's no anywhere compared to who God is. Servants of the Most High God. I mean, why did he even try to burn them if he knew that? Would you ever wonder? Why did he even try to? I mean, if these guys really serve the Lord, then you leave them alone, right? But he tried not only to challenge their faith, he's really shaking his fist at God. He wants to prove to these men that he is stronger than God Almighty. And look at the story, he loses. He knows for sure that he cannot do that. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." All the enemy does, all this world does, and from all corners, it's just a threat, just intimidation. It's almost just like a scarecrow. And for sure, we will go through, and most of us, if not all, will testify that we've had our own forms of fiery furnaces. I can testify. And Jesus warned us that we would go through many troubles, just like he did. In fact, to go through troubles is literally to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. who wants to be like Jesus? Don't we all want to be like Jesus? So we need to be like Jesus even in suffering, right? Can we have an amen for that?
Amen.
And some have counted it a privilege to suffer because that was an opportunity for them to look exactly like our Lord and Savior. There's one man who was 86 in history, Polycarp. The Romans asked him to renounce his faith in Jesus. Now this is an old man, 86 years old. He said, 86 years have I served him, he declared. And he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? He's only been good to us. He died on the cross for us. Why would we deny him? And all of us can testify of God's goodness. And we can all say we have no reason whatsoever to blaspheme our King. I told you the story of Brother Yun in the Chinese prison, many years of torment and torture. He escaped from, it's called the Zhengzhou Maximum Security Prison, which is reported to have had no escape history whatsoever. One day, God just told him to walk out of prison. Now, his feet were wounded, he could not walk, and he got up, and his cell door opened, and he walked out, and he walked through many gates before going out through the yard and walking out of the main gate. And he testified that it seemed that these guards could not see him. They would stare right through him, but God had blinded them. They could not see him. And when they launched an investigation to find him with sniffer dogs, it actually immediately rained after he had escaped, so his scent disappeared. It is reported that the official investigation by the Chinese government concluded that Yun received no human help whatsoever. It was God. We may not even realize it, just like those men, that God is with us. Even when we don't feel it. Sometimes we want to just rely on feelings because we are feeling people, right? We have emotions. But in many ways, God watches over us. It was not time for them to be burned in the fire. They had more work to do. God will only allow that fire to consume us if our time is up. If he says, you know what, according to my plan for you, you need to be home right now, so you come home. If that time is not yet, he will preserve us from any fiery trial. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Does that mean we should just be happy we have problems and trials? But we should look at those trials differently. We should look at them through the very eyes of our God. And tell you what, all of us go through very many trials, many pains. We grieve. We make losses. We hurt. We cry. We have threats. We are intimidated. In fact, Paul wrote somewhere that all day and all night. But the writer here says that look at these trials in the very eyes of our Lord and Savior. He is doing something. He wants to use you. I mean, look at how these men are used of God to preach through the entire kingdom with no words whatsoever. Just the testimony of them going through that furnace. They didn't have to say any word in defense of God. But look at how effective they were, announcing their faith and the proclamation of God throughout this pagan kingdom. And when we go through trials, you know what? God is using our testimony to shine. We don't even see it, do we? We're thinking, this pain is too much, God. Please take it away. We go on a prayer mountain. We look for all manner of solutions from different men of God. There's a lady who told me how she went to a certain prophet in town. And they have to pay, obviously, to see the prophet. And she was asked to twist the story. So if she has been suffering for 3 years, they ask her to say, you've been suffering for 13 years. So that the testimony looks big. I mean, they just make it up. And the prophet obviously prayed for her, and she did not get well. She still has the infirmity. We may not know why God allows those things to happen, but we know one thing for sure. He wants to shine. He wants to shine through us. In fact, God shines more through our weaknesses and nothingness than in our health. When you are completely ill or sick or broken, and you still believe in Jesus Christ, and you still walk with Him and trust Him, you have a better testimony than that person who has no clue what suffering is. The truth is, there's no such a person. All of us know what suffering is. And God wants to shine through us. And when we have various trials, different, God is making us more effective in witnessing. If you go through a furnace like this and you come out, tell me what can really hinder you from preaching the gospel. Not even a fire. When you're so broken and God heals you, when you're in so much lack and God provides, tell me one thing that will hinder you from believing in Him. If He could take you through all those trials, for sure He will take you through any trial ahead. And that's the testimony that these men live. The testing of their faith produces the excellence of their faith. Maybe you're in a trial and you're wondering why. Don't even wonder why. Just say, God, keep burning me. At least preserve me from the fire. Obviously, He does. Just like silver, the Bible describes in one place, our faith is purified by fire. When you want the best silver, the best gold, the best of precious metals, they have to be heated. They have to be red hot. I don't know if you've seen brick baking. The kiln is red hot. But you see, that is what makes the brick valuable. Nobody goes and buys unbaked bricks to build a strong house. No. We go for the best, the clay, the red hot, the red heated clay. Because it is going to make a very strong building. And God intensifies His heat upon us, not to burn us. He doesn't want to burn us. I know He's a consuming fire. The Bible says that's against His enemies. But for us, His children, all He wants to do is purify us. And a Christian who has gone through various trials is one pure Christian. Because God burns everything else and leaves you pure. If it was fear in there, it's gone. If it's impatience, you become patient. If it's pride, you become humble. If it's arrogance, you become humble. If it's anger, you slow down your anger. And that's what God wants us. All those trials are literally shaping us to be more effective for Him. God can deliver us from a trial, or He can sustain us and strengthen us through the trial, through every trial. All the fire did was let them loose from their ropes. Can you imagine? All fire can do for you, all these trials that we go through, only lets us free to walk with our Lord. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives his own personal example. Verses 7 to 10. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or to pound me. Lest I be exalted above measure, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" He says, I have issues. I have this thorn in the flesh. You don't know exactly what that was. Some think it was a medical condition. And he pleaded with the Lord not once, not twice, 3 times. And God says, no. God answers all prayers. I had a song this morning on the radio. And sometimes the answer is no. And more than no, He says, I am going to strengthen you through your life with that thorn in your flesh. And all I want to do is demonstrate my power through you, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's power rests upon us broken vessels. And He says, you know what? Infirmities may come, reproaches, persecution may come, distresses, personal stresses and dilemmas. And he says, it's fine. I have Jesus with me. I have his power with me. And that's all that matters. He says, for when I am weak, when I'm physically weak, that is when God's power is demonstrated. Then I'm strong. When I'm weak and cornered and troubled, he writes about another experience in the very first chapter of 2 Corinthians. He said that they went through so much trouble, they despaired, they thought they were going to die. But he says, but God, who comforts, preserved them and comfort them through every trouble. And he does that all the time. Nebuchadnezzar gives glory to God. He recognizes that he is not great, but God is great. He recognizes that nobody should worship or bow down to the golden idol, but to the one true God, the God of Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, the God of Daniel. The trial had no power over the men. It was God in charge here. That is the only reason. It wasn't just their faith. It wasn't just their trust. God and his power are challenged by a human figure, Nebuchadnezzar, and God says, you're going to see how powerful I am. I can preserve through a furnace that is heated 7 times than normal. I had somebody tell the story of Russian communists doing their space exploration. And up in the sky, they were radioing their message down, and they were saying, we look through the skies. We only see clouds. There is no God. You know, one thing they should have done if they really wanted to see God is just to open the door. You'll freeze instantly. That is God's power. And whoever has tried to challenge God has seen his power. In fact, a lot of God's enemies have actually, over the years, to this day, melted down before him and acknowledged he is God, he is Lord. Our God saves is what we see here. In Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from how many of them? All. Sometimes we hope there are few, right? I wish we could say, that scripture says, few are the afflictions, or no affliction for the righteous. And that's what the false teachers are teaching around. If you believe in Jesus Christ, no afflictions whatsoever. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You know what? That's what Satan promises his followers too. He says to them, you come and follow me and you will have no problems whatsoever. He says exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, you come and follow me and you may have to go through many afflictions, but I will preserve you from them all. And this is David. Do you think being a king was easy? Read his life through scriptures. Difficult. And he was right to say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, because he had gone through so many. Not only did he go through so many afflictions, he went through so many deliverances. God helped him every time he had trouble. And God will help us each time we have trouble. Think about these men walking out of the fire and they're thinking, wow, this is interesting. Do you feel hot in your feet? No. Do you smell any smoke on you? No. Tradition says they broke up in song. They just started singing and worshiping the Lord. It's not there in scriptures, but Jewish tradition says they just walked out singing. Our God is powerful. One, our God saves. Even if it meant him going to the cross, he did that so that we would be saved. Second, our God is powerful. I don't know if you've tried whitewater rafting. That thing is dangerous. So a few friends were going there. They wanted to take me. I told them, no, I cannot do that. That is tempting God. They said, no, that is testing God's power. Our God is powerful. Imagine all the electricity we use in this country is manufactured by a river going down a stream. Can you imagine? By the sun that he created. Solar power. And so many other wind. And not just in creation, in our experience with Him. God is powerful. Think about power that is necessary to just sustain one human being on this planet. The care, the food, the solar energy, the whatever it is, and God can handle billions of us. I have 3 boys. I look sleepy, right? Somebody walked to me and said, "Pastor, you look sleepy." I said, "Yeah, thank you. My boys are having a good toll on me." Think about God taking care of billions of us. That must be so much power and so much ability. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." That's the testimony I was given to the Jews about God. And the same applies to us. He is the Lord of lords and God of God. He is great. He is mighty. He is awesome. We run out of words trying to describe Him, don't we? And thirdly, our God is trustworthy. These boys, these men demonstrated their trust by saying, "Regardless of what happens, we will trust in Him." More than their trust in God is the trustworthiness of our God. We can rely on Him. We can trust in Him. We can hold on to Him. And that picture of trust is literally holding on to Him. And He's one person we can hold on to, and He will never disappoint us. Not once. There is no one follower of the Lord who has any regrets. We may have questions. We may have concerns. We may have dilemmas, but no regret whatsoever. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Amen? Not once will He leave us nor forsake us. Even when we feel like we are forsaken, even when we think, "God, where are you? You seem so far away. You seem so silent." But we know the truth. Those are just our feelings and the limitation of our understanding and the short-sightedness in our hearts. But the truth remains that God is strong. He's mighty. He's able. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing was going to hinder these men from anything. In fact, what happens at the end of the story? They get promoted. They go up their career in Babylon. How would you like that? It only required them to stand as believers in God. That's all you have to do. God does the rest, doesn't He? All I have to do is say, "God, I'm just going to follow you. Even when this fire burns me, this fiery trial, or this disease or whatever it is kills me, I'm just going to trust in you." And He does the rest. He does exalt us. He does honor us. He does reward us. And this was not an effort of these boys trying to get God famous. This was God getting Himself famous. He did it Himself. All we have to do is say, "God, we're just available to be used of you, even if it means going through this." We'll close with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. We know this. We should memorize this. We should write this everywhere around. We live, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Let's read it together. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Amen. Let's stand and pray. Maybe you're right in the middle of a furnace. Maybe you're just walking there. Maybe it's still the intimidation process. Maybe you're coming out of it. Let's remember one thing for sure. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, thank you so much for preserving us, Lord. Thank you so much for watching over us through every danger, through every pain, through every grief, Lord, you heal us. Through every lack, Lord, you provide. Through every trouble, Lord, you are with us. And you're walking with us. You in us, oh God. Lord, quite often we doubt you, Lord. We get confused. We are troubled and pressed hard. But truth is, you will and you always deliver us. And all we have to do is hold on to you, Lord. All we have to do is trust in you. Lord, we just want to say we surrender to you, Lord. We just want to give our everything, our bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. And that is how we worship your God. That's how we trust you. That's how we demonstrate surrender to you, Lord. So Jesus, purify us through every trial, Lord. Shape us for all that you want to do. Shine your light through us and demonstrate your power through every weakness in us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.